When I was drifting out in sin,
I had no peace, no joy within.
But Jesus came and made me glad,
the dearest friend I ever had.
When Jesus comes,
the way is bright.
He saved my soul.
Oh, bless his name.
I'll never forget.
That day he came.
He makes me glad when I am sad.
The dearest friend I ever had.
Oh, sinner, come.
To Jesus now, at his dear feet.
Just humbly bow.
He'll save your soul.
And make you glad.
The dearest friend you'll ever have.
He saved my soul.
Bless his name.
I'll never forget.
That day he came.
He makes me glad when I am sad.
The dearest friend I ever had.
He saved my soul.
Bless his name.
I'll never forget.
That day he came.
He makes me glad.
The dearest friend I ever had.
He saved my soul.
Lord.
Amen. I always enjoy the singing. It kind of gets my heart prepared to preach. And I hope it gets your heart prepared to listen while I preach. We've been going verse by verse through the book of Philippians, and I hope that you've gotten some things that would help you in your day-to-day living for the Lord Jesus. We'll continue in that this morning with these two verses of Scripture. I want to talk to you this morning about knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus. Now, if you'll notice, I didn't say knowing about Jesus. There's a lot of people that know about Jesus. You can just about flip on television and flip the channels and know about Jesus, especially around this time of the year as it starts approaching Christmas time. There's no telling what you might hear about Jesus. When you listen to religions and other people talk, you might hear a lot about Jesus. Historical Jesus, they called him. Well, I'm not talking about historical Jesus. I'm talking about the Son of God. Biblical Jesus. Do you know him? So, well, preacher, I know about him. Well, I'm going to talk to you about that today. This man that knew about him. We talked about him last week. He began to give some credentials that he had. Remember the credentials that he gave here? He in verse number 3, 4, right on down, he began to talk about himself in chapter 3, all the things that he had going for him. Well, he was a religious somebody, wasn't he? He was one of them kind of guys that you get to talking about, and somebody might speak up out of the crowd and say, I tell you what, if anybody's going to go to heaven, that Saul of Tarsus is going to go. You know? You've been in those conversations, haven't you? When people start talking about the good deeds that folks do and the type of life that people live, and then somebody will speak up and say, I tell you right now, if anybody makes it to heaven, that person's going to make it. Well, we showed where Paul said that there came a time when he met this Jesus, And he said that I counted all of that in verse number 7 of chapter 3, but loss. And then he said, I counted it but dung, refuge, human excrement. He said it was just nothing, nothing, waste for the excellency of the knowledge which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He was introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he makes this statement that when you first read it, you think, well, wait a minute now. I thought Paul already knew Jesus. Notice what he said in verse number 10. He talked about that knowledge of knowing him in verse 8. He talked about the things that he counted for loss, all his credentials. And he said, I counted them for loss, but for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And then he said in verse number 10 that I may know him. And someone might be tempted to say, well, no, I thought Paul already knew it. Paul said, well, I want to know him in a deeper way. There's some ways I want to know him. He knew him in an introductory way. As a matter of fact, if and we'll look here in just a moment, we'll go back into the book of Acts and see how Paul met him. And some of the things that happened that day were very interesting. And Paul spent the rest of his life answering two questions. We have a lot of questions that are being posed today about life and the afterlife. And Paul really summed it up in about two questions, and he took care of those with the rest of his life. Let's think about this for a moment. Okay, so here's a man that's introducing Jesus to us, and he says, you know, I want to know him. I want to know him. Now, he didn't say, I want to know about him. Paul knew about Jesus. As a matter of fact, that was the motivating force behind what he was doing in persecuting the church. Because when Jesus met Paul on the road to Damascus, he didn't say, why are you persecuting my church? He said, why are you persecuting me? He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? So Paul, at that time, Saul, he knew about Jesus. Now there's a lot of people that know about Jesus, a lot of people. But I'm here today to tell you now, and I want you to listen very carefully. There may be someone in that category today. You say, well, now I know about Jesus. Well, that doesn't get you to heaven. Knowing about Jesus, even knowing what Jesus came to do, even believing that he did what the Bible says he came to do, that doesn't get you to heaven. There must be a personal experience, an experiential knowledge, an acceptance of what Christ has done and who he is by faith in order to know him. So I want to talk to you about that today. All right? We're going to talk about three things. First of all, we're going to talk about the power of his resurrection. Knowing Jesus brings power into your life. You say, well, I have, you know, I have power. Well, we're going to talk about that, okay? The power of man versus the power of God. Can I tell you, our power is weak. Weak. We'll talk about that. So not only is it the power of his resurrection that knowing Jesus brings power into your life, but knowing Jesus brings pain in your life. We may not want to talk about that. But he said, I also want to know him in the fellowship, in verse number 10, look at it there, of his sufferings. And then the purpose. Knowing Jesus brings purpose to your life. Being made conformable unto his death. Did you know that the purpose of Jesus was fulfilled when he came and died and fulfilled the will of God? That was the will of God for his life. The will of God for Jesus' life was to die. What's the will of God for your life? It's the only thing that'll bring purpose. There had to be a time, and there was, in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. Has that ever happened in your life? Has that happened in my life? Has there been a time when we just died to our desires, died to our personal dreams and ambitions, and said, God, I no longer want what I want for me. I want what you want for me. I want what you want for my life. That's when life really begins to take purpose. Now, there's a lot of people today that are searching for purpose. They're searching for meaning in life. The only way we're ever going to know that meaning and find that purpose is when we die to ourself. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. Die to self so that Christ can live through you. Isn't that what he said? I am crucified with Christ. In other words, I'm dead in Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He said, it's not the life which I now live. He said, it's by faith. And the life which I now live is the life that Christ is living through me. Is that the life you're living? That's the only way you're going to have purpose. So, well, I've got a plan for my life. God has a plan for your life too, and it's better than your plan. Amen. See, every person has a plan for their life, but God has a purpose for every person's life and a plan. And God's plan and purpose is better than our plans and purposes. So we're going to talk about that. All right? Let's talk about this resurrection power. Notice what he said here in verse number 10. He said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul said, I want to know something about the power of God that is that resurrection power. The power that is so powerful that it can bring the dead back to life. Now, brother, that's power. Amen. So we have folks, and don't be offended. I'm just using this for an illustration. Maybe you lift weights. I know we have a couple of men in the church that do. Maybe some women too. I don't know. But we got some men that lift weights, you know, and they're strong. I mean, they're strong. But now, strength is not always power. See, man thinks he has power. And you begin to talk to people and they say, well, you know, man's got power. Let me explain something to you. Power is desirable. It's desire. People want power. It may not be just strength. It may be power. It may be power in business. It may be power in finances. It may be power in social circles. But people, they just want power. Paul said, I don't care about that power. I want a different kind of power. I want to get hooked up with the power of God that brought Jesus Christ back from the dead. I want to tap into that power. Amen. Now that's power. That's power. See, man has the power to build houses, but God has the power to build homes. Amen. Now listen to me. Man has the power to build houses and subdivisions and even communities and cities, but listen, man doesn't have the power to build a home. God has to give that power. You see, because except the Lord build a house, the Bible says, they that labor in vain. So there's some things that man can do constructively, But it's limited. It's limited. You see, man can lift heavy weights. I mean, just I've seen where those strong men competitions, they'll take vehicles and lift them. I mean, strong individuals. But that same person can't tame their tongue. Isn't that something? So powerful they can pick up hundreds and hundreds of pounds, but can't tame something like a little tongue. Go home and just rant and rave and curse and spew out poison and vulgarities. Can't even tame a little tongue, but can pick up a vehicle. That's something, isn't it? Power. Power. Man thinks he thinks he has power. Man has built rocket ships. Send people to the moon, brethren. Think about that. You say, I don't believe people went to the moon. Well, you know, that's for another debate. Send people to the moon. Build rocket ships. But can't tame drunkenness. Dope usage. Can't manage sin. Man can't tame sin. Only God can take care of that problem. So when Paul said, I want to know this kind of power, he was wanting to get outside the realm of a man. Men can do a lot of things, but there's a lot of things men can't do also. Paul said, I want the power that only can come from God. I'm not really interested in that power that men can teach and distribute. Ability. He said, I want something outside of my ability. I wonder if there's anyone here this morning about to tap into something like that. Amen? Something outside of what you can do and I can do, what we can do, humanly speaking. Would you like to tap into something like that? Can I tell you, it's available. There's very few people seeking it anymore. You rarely hear people praying for the power of God anymore. I recall a day in my life, in my early Christian life, where there were people, when they used to get together, they would fall down on their face in humility before God, and they would begin to cry out to God and say, God, give me your power. May the power of God fall upon this place and our preacher. You rarely hear people praying like that anymore. We've gotten so accustomed to the power of man and the ability of man that we seem to have gotten to where we're okay with that. Paul said, I want something outside of that. Amen. I want something outside of what man can do. Yeah. Your preacher wants something outside of what he can do and what we as a group. Thank God for the church and thank God for his calling. But listen, if we're going to do this to where it's going to affect eternity, whether it's going to have eternal ramifications, we're going to have to tap into this power that I'm speaking to you about this morning from the Word of God. Amen. It's the power of the resurrection. It's the power that calls the dead back to life. And it's so, brethren, it's so. It's available. It's available. Paul said, that's the power I want to know, that I may know him. Look at it. He said, I want to know him in that way and the power of his resurrection. Now, what drove Paul to make this statement? Hold your place here just for a moment. Go back to Acts chapter number 9, and you'll find with me the what we call the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, how Saul became Paul. The conversion of Saul of Tarsus, how he was on the road to Damascus and he was breathing out threatenings. He was reaping havoc on the church. He was persecuting and hailing Christians and bringing them out and putting them to their death. The Bible says in this particular verse of Scripture that in verse number 3 of chapter 9 of the book of Acts, that as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? Now I want you to look right up this way for a moment. Can I tell you, from this moment on, you search the Scriptures now, the Apostle Paul spent the rest of his life answering that question. The rest of his life. Answering that one question right there. Paul was just constantly digging. He was just constantly moving forward. He was just constantly wanting more knowledge about this individual that met him this day. He said, I've just got to know who you are. Amen. And he wasn't satisfied with just an introductory knowledge. Now, some may be here today, and you may know as much about Jesus as you knew 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Can I tell you, you'll never know the power of the resurrected Jesus if you're okay with that introductory knowledge. You're saved, thank God for it. You're going to heaven, praise God for that. But there's more to the Christian experience than what I've just mentioned to you. God has something for you here and now. That's why you're here. Now, thank God, God has something for us there and then. But God has something for us here and now. Why not tap into the resurrected power of Jesus Christ and experience life to its fullest? Why just exist? Why just mosey through life? Why just, you know, think, oh yeah, Monday, Tuesday. I talked about it in Sunday school this morning. Don't endure life. Don't you endure it. Don't escape it. Enjoy it, amen. Enjoy it to its fullest. Enjoy God's blessings for your life. God has a purpose for your life. Your life can be lived, my life can be lived, and should be lived in the power of Jesus Christ. So he asked this question. He asked the question, he said in verse number 5, he said, who art thou, Lord? Now if you want to know Jesus, Jesus will reveal himself. You say, I just want to know more about him. I thought about that hymn, more about Jesus. More about Jesus. You want to know more about him? He'll reveal more about himself to you and to me if we'll honestly and humbly and diligently seek that knowledge. More about him. Notice what he said here. He said in verse number 5, the Lord said, that means he answered, he will show you more about himself. He will give you more knowledge if you really want it. The Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Now there's a message in that itself, but that's not my message this morning. You be careful how you treat God's people. Amen? Be careful how you treat God's people. Jesus takes that personally. And then he said, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Of course, you know the oxen, they kick against the prick, the gourds, and of course it's painful, right? It's painful. Just take what God gives you. Listen, go in that direction. Don't be kicking against the pricks, he said. Now that's the first question. Look at this second question. After he said, okay, I know who you are. Now that doesn't mean he knew all about him. Paul spent the rest of his life finding out more about him. Notice the second question that he asked in verse number 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Can I tell you, these are the two questions that every Christian ought to really concern themselves with. So, well, I'd like to find out what that verse over there in Revelation chapter 8 means. You need to get concerned about Acts chapter 9, verse 5 and 6 right in here. Amen. We got folks wanting to find out, I want to know about that Cain situation and this situation over in here, that situation with Jacob down there by Bethel. I'm going to tell you what we need to get concerned about. I'm not saying this, I'm saying this in all sincerity. We as believers need to get concerned again on who art thou, Lord, and what wilt thou have me to do? A lot of questions will be answered when we get concerned about that again. I'm going to say it again. A lot of questions will get answered when we get concerned about those two questions right there. Who art thou, Lord? Who art thou? Know enough about Jesus to know that he is worthy to be the Lord of your life. That there's nothing that he would ask you to do that you would not be willing to do. That there is nowhere he would tell you to go that you wouldn't be willing to go. That there is nothing that he wouldn't have you to say that you wouldn't be willing to say. Who art thou, Lord? I want to know him that way. What would thou have me to do? Very important questions. The devil wants to, as we go back to Philippians chapter 3, the devil wants to get us so concerned. Listen, I'm not saying that's all we should know about the Scripture. We ought to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ought to be growing daily. But here's where it starts right here. The devil wants to get us off track, right? He wants to distract us and get us concerned about these things. These are the two most important questions you'll ever answer in your life. Who art thou, Lord? What wilt thou have me to do? Paul spent the rest of his life now. You search the Scriptures. I challenge you this morning. Many of you know what I'm saying, so you've searched them already. This man, who is considered one of, if not the greatest Christian ever to live now, spent the rest of his life on a quest to find the fullness of the answer of those two questions. And I think it would behoove and do us well to do the same. So, it was desirable, right? It was desirable. I want that power. I got a little taste of it on the road to Damascus, Paul said. He said, I just want to delve into it. I just want to bask in it. I want the power of God to resonate in my life. I do, and I believe you do too. I do. It's desirable. But that's where it starts, with a desire. If there is not a desire in the heart of a believer to emulate what Paul is writing here, to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, it's because there's a disconnect in your Christian experience. Number two, not only is the power of Christ desirable, but it's demonstrated. How? Look at what he said here in verse number 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Now think about that just for a moment. Now I want you to look right up here at me. Sometimes, if we're not careful, you just read through the Bible and you just kind of read through and you say, wow, that's nice. You know, the resurrection of Jesus. Wow, that's something. Brethren, can I tell you, Jesus Christ died. He didn't faint. Hear me now. He didn't go into a state of unconsciousness. He died. His spirit was commended into the hands of the Father. Christ died. For our sins, 1 Corinthians 15:3 says, according to the scriptures, he died. He was buried. He came back to life. You think about that for a moment. That's something, amen. I mean, my mind can't even wrap around it. Now, my heart's wrapped around it, amen. It has. By faith, my heart has wrapped around that statement I just made to you. But my mind, I just can't comprehend that. Jesus died and came back alive, and he is alive forevermore. He was resurrected, Romans 1:4, by the power of holiness. The spirit of holiness brought Jesus back from the dead. Isn't that something? Now, I'll tell you something that's even more so something. I have access to that power. Man. You have access to that power. You say, preacher, I didn't know that. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Now you know. You can tap into this power. It's available to us. I'm going to show you from the scripture here in just a moment. Think about the power of God for a moment. Think about it now. I'm going to share some scripture with you in order for you to get the full effect of this, all right? What do you think is more powerful? Go back to Genesis just for a moment, to Genesis chapter 1, and you tell me, all right? So we think about the power of God. Say, I want to know something about the power of God. Paul did not say, that I may know him and the power of his creation. So, well, Jesus didn't create. You see, he created everything. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. That's what the word says, brethren. Jesus made it all. By the word of his power. And yet, when Paul was saying, I want to tap into a power that is beyond man, beyond man's ability, he did not say that I may know him and the power of his creation, though that is power. Amen? You in Genesis 1? Some time ago, and I shared this on a Sunday night, so I'm reading through Genesis 1, just doing some Bible reading, and I read through and I'm just thinking, man, this is something. You ever get that way when you're reading? Sometimes you just get all teary-eyed, and sometimes you just say, man, this is so simple, but this is wonderful. Thank God, this is so. And so the Bible says, in the beginning, God created, chapter 1, Genesis, verse number 1, God created the heaven and the earth, and you just sit there and meditate on that a while and think, man, that's something. And then you read on down where he made the light and darkness, and he called the night, darkness, he called the light day and the darkness. In verse number 5, he called night. And then you read on down where he divided the firmament from the waters, and you keep reading and you find where he calls the dry land to appear in verse number 9, and he called that dry land in verse number 10, he called it the earth. And so here's God just creating everything. Amen? Just creating everything. Out of nothing. Everything out of nothing. Just speaking things into existence. That is power. And yet, when Paul said, I want to tap into a power that's outside my ability, that's outside of my human resource, he didn't say, I want to get into that power of creation. He said, I want to tap into a power that's more powerful than that. You read on down, and this is what really jumped out at me. So, the Bible, you're reading on down, and the scripture says, look at verse number 16. And God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, and we know what that light is. Say it, church. The sun. Amen. I'm still amazed. Oh, preacher, you're kind of simple-minded. I know that. Just leave me alone. I'm enjoying my life. Amen. Isn't it something we don't have to shuffle, spaceships up there to chunk coal? Or the God just told the sun, shine. Been burning ever since. Amen. Amen. I mean with intensity. Been burning ever since. That's Colossians 1:17. By him all things consist. He did not only create everything. Listen, he is sustaining everything. That's power, brethren. I talked to you this morning about power. And yet Paul said there's a greater power and I want to tap into it. Do you? It's available. He said, I want to know that. I want to know this power. He didn't say creation. Look at it. He said the greater light in verse number 16, he said he made it to rule the day, the lesser night to rule the night. That's the moon, which is really just a big old giant mirror, right? Oh, it's something. What a God we serve. And then this is what hit me one night. So one evening. So I'm reading, and I'm just reading. I'm thinking, man, the moon, the sun. And then it said this. And oh, and by the way, look at the way. He made the stars also. Millions and millions. Can't even count them. Right. All right. And it's like God told Moses, Moses, write down. I made the stars too. Amen. You go over and don't do it now, but if you were to go over, you can write these scriptures down. Psalm 147, it says, God knows how many they are. Now, we say millions and millions, myriads of stars. God says, I know every one of them. I'm counting every one of them. And I called them by their name. That's power. That's power. And now as we go back to Philippians chapter 3, Paul said, boy, I tell you, he said, I'm so glad I serve a God that's got power. I'm so glad that I know that my God is all-powerful. Great is his power. God is an almighty, all-powerful God. He said, I want to know him, and I want to know him in the power of. And just when you think he might say creation, he says, oh, no. The power of his resurrection. God has power. He has the power of life and death. God has that power. Paul knew he was tapping into the right power. Not the power of creation, brethren. It's the power of resurrection. So, Paul said, I want that power. He said, I want it to be brought into my life. I want to know him that way. I pray that you do know Jesus that way. In the power of his resurrection. That you have experienced the life-changing, life-altering power of Jesus Christ through the gift of salvation. And you continue to learn more about him and the power that can be unlocked in your life by faith when we pray, when we call upon his name, when we live this journey called life by faith. There's power available to us. There's power. I know in my own life that when I get to heaven, I'm going to look back and I'm just going to know that, you know what, I didn't tap in. I had so many resources that I could have tapped into, and I just didn't tap into it. They were there. God made them available to me. Let's tap into the power. Amen? The power. It's the power of his resurrection. It brings power into your life. Number two. And I'll just say a little word about this. Well, let me tell you something I read here. I wrote this down. I about skipped over it, but I think you'll find this interesting. I love to read. And I was reading and I found out that the average nervous system in a human being has 1/10 of a watt of power. You say, what's that supposed to do, preacher? It's supposed to let you know who you are and where you stand. 1/10 of a watt. Okay? That wouldn't even get a 25 watter up. You know those little 25 watt bulbs? Well, that wouldn't get one of them little 6 waters that you put in your mirror on your visor. You got 1/10 of a watt going for you. Amen? Now, why would you want to try to live life on 1/10 of a watt? I thought about that. We've got a lot of people. I've been guilty of it my own self. Trying to live life, trying to navigate through a world of darkness on 1/10 of a watt. When Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Yeah. Amen? We need to be tapping into this. Amen. 1/10 of a watt. We got folks strutting around, boy. I mean, I'm it. Yeah, I'll tell you what you are. You're 1/10 of a watt. Yeah. Well, my 1/10 of a watt. Well, beat up your 1/10 of a watt. Well, okay. I found that interesting. I really did. I don't know who done the science in it and all, but may not even be so. But I think it is. If not, I think it about sums up who we are and who we need. It brings power. Number two, it brings pain. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. I just want to get you to do something for me. I want you to think about this. Notice what Paul said here. He said that I may know him. Now, brethren, I want to know more about Jesus. I believe you want to know more about Jesus. I believe that's why you're here. I don't think you came to church today to just see what the preacher was going to have on or to show off some new clothes maybe you have, or maybe you wore, I don't know, maybe you wore your favorite football team socks or something. You just want to kind of sit and pull your pants leg up so everybody can see your socks. I don't think that's why you're here. I think people are here today because you want something, you need something from God, from God's Word. We're wanting to know more about this Jesus that we've trusted. We're wanting to know more about this eternal salvation that has been given to us, that we have received as a gift. We want to know more about Jesus Christ. We want to know more about Him. And so we're here to hear from His Word. And if you don't get anything else today, I want you to know this. He's alive. He's alive. Okay? Now, I cannot introduce you today to dead people. Well, you know, at the end of the service, we're going to be introducing people to deities. We're going to introduce people to Buddha. Buddha's no deity. Buddha's dead. You can't introduce people to dead people. We're going to introduce people to Muhammad. He's dead. Can't introduce people to dead people. Listen to me. Confucius, dead. I can, however, introduce you to Jesus Christ. Why? He's alive. He's alive by the power of the resurrection. Jesus Christ is alive. So you see, these religions, they can't introduce to the religious leader. He's dead. They can tell them about him, and they can know about their religious leaders. But we do more than just tell people about our religious leaders. We want to introduce them to our leader. Why? He's alive. Listen to me. Jesus is alive. Get it. Write it down. Live on it. Share it. Jesus Christ is alive, brethren. If we could just get a hold of that. This is real. It's real. All other religions, dead, dry, barren. But our leader is alive.
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Look at this next statement. The fellowship of His sufferings. Not only does knowing Jesus bring power, but it brings pain. How? Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when you're part of a body, when they weep, you weep. When they rejoice, you rejoice. When they suffer, you suffer. Right? How many of you in here, you men, raise your hand, you say, I'm happily married. You women be watching. Cut your eyes if you don't want to move your head. I'm happily married. Okay. When your wife is in pain, you feel it. If you're happily married, that's why. Are you married? Some people's wives are in pain and they're the inflictor of the pain. Amen. Happily married. You feel the pain. Now here's what Paul's saying. He said, I want to be made to fellowship with the sufferings. I think this could mean a number of things. I'm just going to narrow it down. It could mean that I'm not ashamed to suffer for His namesake. Not ashamed to suffer for His namesake. I think what Paul was saying here is I want to realize that Jesus entered into my pain. The fellowship of sufferings. I want to understand that my knowledge of Him would get to the place where I would realize what He did for me. So that as I grow in my knowledge of Christ, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. In other words, I want to know Him in that power, that resurrection power, but I don't want it to end there. I want to enter into the sufferings of His pain. So that He would be resurrected. I don't want to forget the fact that Jesus died for me. Isaiah said, He was wounded for our transgressions. That's for us. That's my pain. I want to understand that. He was bruised, you see. He was wounded. He was bruised. With His stripes we are healed. All of these things. He said, I want to understand that's my pain. That's what Paul said, right? He was afflicted. He was oppressed. A lot of things that Jesus suffered. He was whipped. He was beaten. Not just physical pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain. Jesus suffered pain. He was rejected. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:3 that He was despised and rejected my pain. Paul said, I don't want to forget that. I want to enter into that. I want to be loyal to Him. I don't want to lose sight. I just want to get power hungry and tap into the power of God and forget what it costs that this power might be made available to me. And I don't either, and I don't think you do either. We ought to visit the cross regularly so that we don't forget what it cost in order for our sin to be forgiven. Right, brethren? Right? So, that's all I'm going to say about that. There's a lot more that could be said. But he said, I don't want to forget that what Jesus suffered, he suffered for me. He suffered for me. And I think Paul really believed this. He did it just for me. He did it just for me. I think sometimes we forget. And we think, well, you know, it's this and that and this and that. I want you to know something. Paul says, touching the law right here in Philippians 3, blameless. I fear sometimes that we think, well, you know what? Some that maybe grew up a good person. I didn't smoke. I didn't drink. I was brought up in a Christian home. Can I tell you, it took just as much of the pain and suffering of Jesus to die for your sin as it did for that derelict out on Skid Row. Amen. We understand that. Yeah. And so I think we lose sight of that sometimes, and we don't need to. Now I want to get to this final point, and I'll close today. Okay? So he said, Paul said, I want to know Jesus more. I've been introduced to him, but I want to know more about him. It's kind of like when you get married and you're standing at the wedding altar and you're just, man, I mean, just dreamy, right? I mean, just, wow, this is something. And then about 3 months later, it's like reality kicks in, right? And you come to bed one night and she's biting her toenails. No. You find out things about people when you live with them. Okay, now, just so you know, my wife doesn't bite her toenails. Okay? Because I know somebody's thinking, did he just say that? I did, but I didn't say my wife did it. So you got to find out things, right? You find out things. Well, it's when you get saved, you find out some things about Jesus, but you don't want it to end there, do you? You want to find out things. I got to tell you something. I believe Paul, when he got saved, I believe Paul thought, man, this is the greatest thing ever. This is something. And then something happened in Paul's life. I'm not really sure what it was. And then he wrote Romans chapter 7. Right? You know what that is? Oh, wretched man that I am. He was shocked. He thought, I thought when I got saved, I would never do this. I would never think this. I would never be like this. I need that power. Now, you listening? Paul didn't want power just so he could go around, you know, distributing pixie dust. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. This is not fairy tale. I'm talking about reality, where the rubber meets the road, living the Christian life, realizing after you get saved that old sinful nature's still with you. You're still going to have some thoughts that you thought, wow, I thought now that I was saved, I would never have that thought. I thought now that I'm a Christian that I would never consider saying that or doing that. Come on now. Come on. Raise your hand. Give me a witness. You know what I'm saying. Oh, now, preacher, we're all just a bunch of angels. Yeah, I can tell. Angels with horns. Listen to me. I'm not making light of sin. I'm just telling you that the Apostle Paul realized some things, and he said, oh, I need to know more about Jesus. I thought when I met him on the road to Damascus that it was all going to be just cleaned up, everything's going to be just rosy until I got to the kingdom. But then I realized this thing called life has got some pitfalls, and I still have this old Adamic nature with me. I need to tap into the power. I need to tap into the power that can help me live the victorious Christian life. I need to tap into the power that can help me to live my life by faith. All right? Then he talked about the pain, and then finally, the purpose. Look what he said here. Verse number 10, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The fellowship of his sufferings, that's the pain. Again, there's a lot that could be said about that. But then he said this, being made conformable unto his death. Verse 11 says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Just want to give you two thoughts here and I'm going to close. Number one, he said the immediate purpose of God's will for my life is that I would die to myself. See, God can never use you the way he intends to use you. God will never use me the way he intends to use me as long as I'm living for myself. I must die to myself. I must. Paul said, I've got to be made conformable. You know the way Jesus done the will of God? He said, not my will, but thy will be done. You got to go to the cross. Have you taken up your cross? Have you? Have you died to yourself? Sometimes we get all of these things in our minds, the way we want life to be. And yet we find that when we study the Scripture, that it's contrary of what we've learned from the world, what we think that our lives ought to be. And God will never be able to use me. God will never be able to accomplish His purpose in my life until I first die to myself. Now that's His immediate purpose for my life, to die. Now what's the ultimate purpose? To live again. To live again. That's God's ultimate purpose. But not the life that I have planned. See, the ultimate purpose that God has for my life will never be achieved until the immediate purpose is achieved. Don't miss this now. We got a lot of folks trying to accomplish God's will in the energy of the flesh because they haven't died to their self. You've got to die to yourself. You've got to say, you know what? It's not about me anymore. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. I want Jesus to live through me. Several years ago, and whether you agree with it or not, it really doesn't matter. Several years ago, there was a saying that, what would Jesus do? Now, you may agree or not agree with what would Jesus do movement, but I will tell you this. It was built on a good premise. Now, whether it was good or not, it was built on a good premise. Each one of us should consider, in every situation that we're in, what would Jesus do right now in this situation? I had one happen to me yesterday. I'll share it with you, and then we'll close. We have these situations happen every day in our life. All of us do. So I ordered some books. I was telling our Sunday school class about this. I ordered some books, and they got sent to the wrong address, my old address. So after we done some things, took care of some business we had to take care of, went to the hospital and came back to a gathering here for Emily. Happy birthday, Emily. And I said, let's go and buy, and we'll pick up those books. So I go, and I knock on the door. And then you got to see this. It is kind of funny. I didn't realize I was going to scare the guy to death, okay? So I had my license with me because I wanted to make sure that he knew that I am Dale Freeman, okay? I'm not just here trying to pick up somebody else's stuff. You know, I rode by and I seen a box and I thought I would claim it. So I carry my license. So this guy, I knock on the door and this guy looks through this glass and I'm going, "Why? Hey, I wasn't thinking. I mean, I really wasn't, and sometimes I'm guilty of not thinking. I've got family that can, you know, attest to that. And so I'm holding this up, and I mean, his eyes got really big, and he cracked the door open. He said, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Well, yeah." I said, "I'm Dale Freeman," and he still looked, I think I saw his bottom lip tremoring. Long story short, I told him, you know, hey, I had a boss that come here, and boy, I mean, a sigh of relief came over him, right? And so we go out, and then he gives me the box, and the Spirit of God said, "Witness to this man." And so as he handed me the box, and the Sunday school class did ask me, "Did you get your box?" I always get the box first. You know, you always make sure that the server serves your food, or, you know, that the person behind the counter gives you your, before you go to this next step I'm getting ready to give you, okay? So then I said, "Sir, got to ask you a question." I reach in my pocket and I pull out a gospel tract and I said, "I want to know if you've ever been saved." He said, "I go to a Catholic church." And I said, "Well, now Jesus loves Catholics too." And he said, "I'm good." And I said, "Well, okay." I said, "Well, can I just give you, you know, this gospel tract?" And he said, "Don't want it." I said, "Okay." So as he's walking off, I said, "And what was your name again?" He turned around and he shook my hand. He said, "I need you to get off my property." Now, I didn't tell Sharon and Gene that because I didn't want to think I was going to get shot. So that bothered me, you know. So I got in the car and I didn't say a whole lot, but I thought to myself, I'd like to punch that guy in the mouth. And then I thought this: I feel sorry for that guy, and I felt bad for wanting to hit him. Okay, and I didn't bow up at him or anything. I just said, okay, you know, we left, and it was nothing. No. Preacher, what'd you tell us that for? It's hard to die to yourself. It's just hard to die. Listen, I've been saved for over 35 years, and there's just still things that happen in my life, and that old nature just rears up, and it can just happen at any instant. Just bam, you know, and just, man, just. And then, fortunately, a lot of times we get an opportunity to pull it in check. And as I was driving down the road, I just felt really bad for that guy. And I said a prayer under my breath for him. I said, God, I sure hope that man realizes the condition he's in. Lost without God. Going to hell. Hell's real, brethren. It's real. And here I was getting mad at him. It made me feel terrible. I need the power of God in my life. I can't indict you, and I don't know all that's going on in your life, but I just can't help believe you need it in your life too. I think we all do. Actually, I know we all do. Let's all stand. We'll bow our heads together, and I want you to think about what I talked about today. You know?